streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight, so stay tuned in to the hottest radio show worldwide.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's your main man in the building, Rob and Lucinda, with the hottest radio show around the world, The Streets Don't Love You Back. We got a great show. We got a great guest in the house. And without any further ado, we're going to bring our guests on, and they're going to formally introduce themselves. Hello, and welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Michelle Smith. I'm calling in from Chicago, Illinois. About my story of me being falsely accused and almost charged with something that I did not do. So that's
all
part
right.
of my story.
If you can speak into the mic a little taste, your phone was breaking up a lot. So if you can speak in there clearly for the fans can hear every word and get in tone with you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Right, I can hear you great now. So we're going to get right into it, you know what I mean? Tell the viewers a little bit about your story and why you're here.
Okay, September of last year on the 11th, I was falsely accused and almost charged with a second-degree felony, aggravated battery, because my soon-to-be ex-husband told the cops that I had hit him with a pistol across the face, but he the one did it. He premeditated the whole thing to have me removed from the home for another woman. So I was almost charged with second-degree felony, but I did get locked up in jail, and I was locked up for a few days. And when I went to go see the judge for the first appearance, they dropped it down to second-degree misdemeanor. So I'm just, you know, pretty much coming on here to let people know that, you know, people that have been falsely accused and charged with things that they did not do, they need to really speak up about it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to encourage other people to speak up about things that they did not do, that, you know, incarcerated today.
Right. Well, we appreciate that because, you know, our organization deal with prison reform and falsely accused and things like that. So when I read your email that you sent me, I definitely had to get you on the show for you to educate youths and adults that it's so easy to get charged with something that you didn't do. So can you break it down to the viewers, the few days that you spent in jail, what was going through your mind?
A lot of things were going through my mind. My mental state was not right, so I was put in infirmary. They put me in an infirmary because I was crying so much because when I got locked up, they had told me that I didn't have a bond. So I'm thinking that I'm going to get, you know, get ready to face 5 to 10 years in jail for something I did not do. So, you know, a lot of things were going through my mind as far as suicide, my kids, because my kids was with this man that falsely accused me. So a lot of things are going through my mind. So you know, I began to mentally break down. But I can say this, that my strength, you know, in prayer, you know, brought, you know, peace in my mind. So I just struggle a lot in that mental area. Even when I got released from jail, I began to struggle mentally because I couldn't deal with the fact that, you know, I was falsely accused of something I did not do, and I'm going to court, you know, 3 or 4 times, and I'm not taking whatever they, you know, whatever plea that they've given me because I'm continuing to fight because I'm like, you know, I'm innocent, so why should I, you know, give in to what they're telling me that, you know, that I'm charged with that I did not do. So I just, you know, I just really want to educate people to just keep going and standing on their innocence because a lot of times we can fold up, you know, when you know, with so much pressure is on us, we begin to fold up. Like, okay, let me just give in, like, you know, whatever. You know, like, whatever, yeah, I did it. No, the thing about it, and that pressure will teach you patience. So you just got to remember, like, you know what, I'm innocent. I'm not going to sit here and fold up because somebody wants me to, because the system wants you to, because to be honest, the system is not for you. It's not for the innocent. It's to prove that you are guilty. So, you know, even with the law, when it says that you are guilty, I mean, you are innocent to prove guilty, I don't believe that. You know, because I believe, like, you know, if somebody made up a story and you're automatically in jail, that they're not hearing your story. They're not hearing what you have to say as far as, you know, your confession or whatever. They're just pretty much hearing the other person and automatically you're locked up. So,
right.
So that's a lot of things that, you know, that went through my mind, you know. So,
dig that. And I just watched a movie on Netflix called Just Us, and I seen how they railroaded them 5 young brothers, and that just really broke me down when I kept looking at it, how they beat and coerced these boys to lie about something they didn't do. And it took all them years for a lady prosecutor to come along and say, hey, something ain't right. You know what I mean? We trying to tell these boys if they – said they did this, we'll let them out of prison. But all them boys kept saying, hey, I'm not going to say I did nothing because I didn't. So they kept staying in prison until that one lady. So I definitely get it, you know what I mean, how you can be railroaded and in the game, you know? Yeah, and my wife got a question for you.
Hi, Michelle. I have a question for you regarding your situation. Were you in a domestic violent relationship, or was he physically, or was he just mentally abusive? How did that happen that he accused you of doing that?
I was in a domestic violence relationship with him. He was also violent towards my children as well. So it was not only physically, it was also mentally. So it's a lot of things that he was, you know, saying to me, like, you're nothing, you're a whore, you know, all those types of things that he was saying. But he claimed to be a man of God because this man, he was an elder in the church. So, you know, I began to gravitate to that because I'm like, you know, well, okay, he believes in God. So, you know, then I believe, you know, anything that he says, you know. So I was pretty much wrapped in the identity of what he was calling. So, and I just call that abuse, you know, and that is a form of abuse. Mental is a form of abuse. Because when somebody gets your mind, they pretty much have your body. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's worse than physical most of the time because they beat you down to a point where you have no self-esteem and you feel like you're nothing, so you do whatever and say whatever just to appease them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, but that, I mean, I dealt with a lot with him, you know. He would take things from me. He would hide things from me. Like, you know, things that he bought me, he would hide it from me. He would tell me, you know, where my keys at sometimes. All that is abuse, you know, when they try to control you. Yeah.
Right. So how are your kids now that this abuser is out of your life? How are your children doing?
They're doing much better. I've taken them to counseling, and I'm still going to see counseling now that I moved from Florida. So they are doing much better. I can say, you know, I can see a lot of relief since we moved from Florida. So, but they're doing fine. You know, I continue to talk to them. I continue to educate them on the importance of, you know, just not being like, you know, that individual, you know, right. and I'm not just pointing, talking about, you know, throughout the world, because it's not only him that is like that. You know, you have a lot of people.
Right, it's
like
many
that.
More.
So I'm not blaming men, because women are like that as well. So
right,
I'm
both sides of the table.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I educate them on lies. You know, it's important not to tell a lie, you know, because that one lie can destroy someone's life.
Because it can destroy a lot.
Absolutely. You know, because even when I got out of jail, I was a certified pharmacy technician. So when I got out, I had lost my certifications because of this. So when I, you know,
wow.
I tried to go back to me, oh, well, you have a pending charge over you. You can't continue to work for us. So I'm like, you know, after everything that I worked for, you know, as a single mom with three kids, I work my behind off to get my education and, you know, to do the best that I can. I even published a book last year. It's called From Poverty to Freedom in Christ, you know, and it's pretty much about,
right.
you know.
Now let's talk about that. Let's talk about that a little bit. What brought that book on? What brought it to life?
Brought it to life was when I was, you know, born and raised in Harvey, Illinois. I was raised in poverty. So I believe poverty is a mindset. Poverty is a mindset only because if you just live in a box and think that, you know, you have to sell drugs, you have to, you know, do fast things, to, you know, little illegal things to make money, then you're living in poverty. You don't believe that you can come out of that. So that's a poverty mindset. You don't believe that you can do great. So that's a poverty mindset. Because if you keep your mind, you know, on greatness and success, you can do successful things. You just have to pick up a book and read, you know, and read about doing successful things to get out of poverty. So that's why I
exactly.
Remember for poverty. Because Christ, you know, is our Savior. So I believe that, you know, if you put your mind to something, you can do it, you know. And in the black community, a lot of people live in poverty because of the mindset. They think because you're black, you have to struggle. You think you have to be on housing and all those things. You don't have to do that. Just put it to your mind like, hey, you know, I'm going to get my credit score together and I'm going to get a house. So that's
right.
a mindset.
Yeah.
Me living in Harvey, Illinois, I was molested. My mom struggled with the addiction of drugs. So that left us in poverty. So I'm just talking about the little
right.
things that can lead to poverty. If you struggle in an addiction, you're going to be left in poverty. It depends on the addiction that you have, but you're going to
exactly.
be left in poverty. It's important that you
until you decide to straighten it up.
So, you know,
so where can they find this book at?
Barnes & Noble, and I also have a website. It's called betterwoman.org. So, and Better Woman, I have an organization, it's a nonprofit organization, and it's basically to empower other women. So what I
yes.
do, I get meetings together, and I empower other women that have been raped, that have been molested, that has been in domestic violence relationships. There's many events that I had down in Florida. So I'm planning on having some events in Illinois as well. So I'm just
great.
Pretty much getting myself together. So just be looking out and just, you know, checking out my Facebook page and my betterwoman.org page. So I have some things on there pretty soon. And I also have another book coming out. It's called Speak Out, Find Your Voice, Discover Your Confidence, and Never Be Silent Again.
Yes.
So I believe that out you. Your healing begins to process, because if you don't speak out,
exactly.
nobody knows that you're suffering. You know, and I'm
and
going to speak
real
about
talk.
This again. Right, yeah, and you
that's
know,
real
a lot
talk.
Of times we absolutely, yes, absolutely, and a lot of times when you're growing up, people would tell you not to say nothing. Oh, your uncle
oh boy, won't
they? So they'll tell you not to say something because it's your family. No, speak up about it, because it's going to begin to grow. It's going to become a generational curse. If you don't cut it off at the root right there, it's going to become a generational curse. So it's important that you speak
Amen.
Up about it. If your uncle, Mr. Tom, or whoever his name is touching you, you need to let somebody know, even if it's going to hurt.
Instantly.
You know what I'm saying? But if it's going to hurt somebody, at least you saving somebody. So it's important that you speak up about what's going on in your life,
mm-hmm.
because it begins to embed in anger. It begins to become, in, you know, become bitterness. It begins to grow into
right.
a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I just think that's important that, you know, people just speak up about what's going on, you know, on the inside as well.
And that's real right there, you know. So tell them, when do you think your next book going to come out, Michelle?
I would say in about 2 to 3 months. I don't have an exact date, but I will be posting it on Facebook. So
okay.
it'll be
that
out in about
2 months. All right. And what good advice do you have to give these young girls out here and these young boys?
The advice that I can give them is to be patient, love themselves, trust God, and to just, you know, stay from violent situations. If you feel like you're getting, you know, to a point that you get so angry that you got to put your hands on somebody, just think about it before you know, do anything. Walk away. The best thing to do is walk away. Because when you walk away, that can save you from a lot of consequences. So that's the advice that I can give them. And then also to the single moms and the young ladies, just, you know, remember that you are beautiful. And remember that you to love yourself, you know, love yourself first. And your identity is not in a man. Your identity is in yourself. So it's important that you have self-love in order for a man to truly love you.
Amen. Well, I'm agree with that, baby girl. You know, and give that website out one more time, Michelle, and give your contact information out if you want somebody to contact you.
Yes, my website is called betterwoman.org, and my telephone number is area code 850-288-5088. Again, it's betterwoman.org, area code 850-288-5088. And I greatly appreciate y'all letting me come on.
No doubt. My wife say, what's your Facebook page again?
It's,
or just request my wife as a friend, Michelle.
Is it Lucinda?
Yeah, request my wife as a friend. And because my wife also is involved with women, helping women. She's the president of an international women's organization called the Zonta Club.
Awesome. Great. And I just actually got a part of the reform group out here in Chicago, Illinois, for the criminal justice
yeah.
system. So I signed up for that as well. So I'll be working.
Hey,
that, that
sounds
that
good. That sounds real good. And then maybe we can all hook up to the point where you can get some sponsors, and we can come out your way. You know what I mean? And set up a big
yeah.
summit or something out in Chicago.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. That sounds great. Yep, but I'm ready.
All right. Well, we're going to keep in touch, and then I'll send you some information to Michelle. Like I say, well, we can set up something, me and my wife, and come out there, and we can do a big summit, you know, with the gangs, the drugs, the violence, and all that, and start putting some work down in the streets of Chicago.
Awesome. Sounds great. And I'm looking forward to
Hey, we was honored that you was on the show, and you have a blessed Sunday, and keep close in touch with us.
Okay, and thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
You're very welcome. Have a great one.